But now, pistol in hand, he was relaxed. He stopped on the little rise that provided cover for the 11. From there, he looked calmly down at them and asked, "Where the hell is he?" His voice came loud and clear. Nobody answered. Nobody moved. The boy's arm lay heavily on her. She was wearing a red waterproof jacket and Wellingtons. He was in checked shorts and a t-shirt. She was tanned. He was pale. The man on the rise started from the right. The first shot entered the head of the boy lying at the end. Then he aimed at the back of her head. Her wavy chestnut-brown hair was wet and shiny in the rain. The shot went right through her head and into her brain. He fired again. The boy with his arm around her was hit. The bullet went through the back of his head. A mobile phone rang in a pocket. Another bleeped as a text came in. A girl whispered, "No," in a low, scarcely audible voice as she was shot in the head. Her drawn-out, "No," faded into silence. The shots came every few seconds. His weapons had laser sights. The pistol sent out a green trace, the rifle a red one. The bullets hit where the trace pointed. A girl near the end of the row caught sight of his muddy black boots. At the back of his heels, down at path level, metal spurs protruded. On his trousers, a checkered reflective strip lit up. She was holding hands with her best friend. Their faces were turned to each other. A bullet seared through the crown, the skull, and the frontal lobe of her childhood friend's head. The girl's body jerked. The twitchings ran into her hand. Her grip slackened. 17 years is not a long life, thought the one still alive. Another shot rang out. It whined past her ear and sliced her scalp. Blood ran over her face and covered the hands her head was resting on. One more shot. The boy beside her whispered, "I'm dying. Help. I'm dying. Help me," he begged. His breathing grew quieter and quieter until there was no more sound. From somewhere in the middle of the group came a weak moaning. There were faint groans and a few gurgling sounds. Then only a little squeak or two. Before long, there was silence. There had been 11 pounding hearts on the path. Now, only one was still beating. A bit further along, a log was wedged at an angle, covering a hole in the fence. Several people had crawled through the little opening and down a steep slope. "Girls first!" A boy was trying to help people down. When the shots rang out from the path, he took off to make the leap himself. He jumped down from Lover's Path over wet sand, pebbles, and shale. A girl with long, curly hair was sitting furthest out on a rocky ledge. She saw him as he jumped and called his name. He paused as his foot made contact with the ground, stopped, and looked round. "Sit here with me," she called. There were young people all along the ledge. They squeezed together to make room. He sat down beside her. They had met the night before. He came from up north. She was from the west. He had lifted her up onto the stage during the concert. They'd taken a walk along Lover's Path and a rest on the promontory. It had been a dark and cold night for July. She had borrowed his jersey. On the final climb back up to the tents, he had asked her to give him a piggyback. He was so worn out. She had laughed, but she had carried him, just so he would be near her. The killer kicked the 11 bodies on the path to check they were dead. Shooting them had taken 2 minutes.